BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. We'll get back to your Giants calls. Let's talk some Yankees here as they are going to be in the World Series. Before we get to what we were discussing, BT, off the air about the Yanks, I just want to read you something here. I just saw a headline. Brandon Cuddy,
I think it's Cuddy.
Sorry for messing that up, Brandon. He wrote an article. I'm just reading the headline here that Boone said this is the best Yankees team during his tenure, and it's also the closest team where these guys have a good close-knit group. Would you say that it's the best Yankees team since Boone's been here? Now, remember, that takes out the 2017 team, obviously, with Girardi. Would you even say they were better? Like, forget even Boone's tenure. You think they're better than 2017?
That's the best team.
This one?
I think it's their best team.
See, I disagree with that.
Which, what you think? What you think 18? You think 19? Like, which one's better?
I think 17, 18... Now, remember, no Gerrit Cole, no Soto. I understand that, but I think they played a better brand of baseball then. I would say 2017 probably. Now, that is before Boone got here, so that doesn't pertain to that quote necessarily. But if I'm looking at it from the Judge, quote, baby bombers, or really just Judge, his years, we could start with that. I still think 2017, 2018. And the reason why I say that is I remember just feeling in the regular season like this was a dominant team that can win it all each year, 2017, 2018, even 2019, where they lost again in the ALCS to the Astros. That was in Game 6 after LeMahieu hit that incredible home run.
That was a big one, DJ. Wow, that seems like 1,000 years ago.
This year, while Cole and Soto are certainly difference makers being on the roster, and you could even throw Weaver in, maybe being emerging as a better closer than Chapman was, let's say, back then, whatever. I didn't see the... Like, there were times where I looked at this team and said... They're a bad team. From June on, they were a team that was under 500.
They were. Had a lot of injuries, too. Yeah. Nobody wants to hear that because it is what it is. Everybody deals with injuries. You know, I do disagree. I think this is the best team, and I do think it's their most cohesive team. And how do you quantify camaraderie? I don't know. How do you prove it? You can't, except when you see a big home run and you see the interaction when they spill out of a dugout, and you just see... What seems to be very apparent togetherness. The thing, too, this group versus other groups that others may perceive to be better that would disagree with Boone's assertion. Aaron Judge, he had 52 home runs as a rookie. Aaron Judge is a very different player. He is he's so much more refined as a hitter. And that's the thing about Aaron Judge that is amazing. There's a lot of players, I mean, I mustn't say a lot. There are a few players in baseball history, clean, who, would hit 50 home runs, and in his case, 60-plus. Not many, couple, right? How many guys did that and hit 322?
Right.
Like, he's just really evolved as a hitter, and so I think that this version of Judge is light years ahead of the other version of Judge.
Fair.
So that changes it right there. Now you're throwing Soto.
Yeah, I know.
And you're throwing Gerrit Cole.
But the way that they play, the stupid base running decisions, the sloppy defense, the inconsistency, even with all of that. Mm-hmm. Look at their record. We judge them by their record. Whether you want to say, they had the best record in the American League. Yeah, okay, well, what was it from June on? How could this team, this talented team, only be two games under 500, whatever it was, under 500, from June on, whatever the exact date was. You get the point. So I'm not ready to say that this is the best team. Now, is it the most talented team? And there's a lot there with Soto and Cole. And I will say that for me, going into this World Series, before we actually get to Cole or Judge, BT, you think there's any pressure on Boone?
No. I think the pressure's off. In terms of retaining his job, he's 100% back.
Or just in general, this is a series where Boone's got to win. Like, I think Boone now, he had to get past that first series. Getting to the World Series should end all questions about Aaron Boone and his future here. He's going to be the Yankee manager for a long time.
Yep.
This year, I think, cemented that win or lose in this World Series.
I agree, but it shouldn't alleviate the burden of what being the manager of the Yankees is all about. Those are two very, and that's winning a World Series. Those are two very different things. Like job retention, which has been discussed a lot. And I've defended Boone more than I've defended Cashman. So there's no doubt. Yeah, he is safe, and he'll get the extension. He's going to be the manager for a while, but he won't be elevated to whether it's Torrey or Miller Huggins or Billy Martin. You got to win a World Series. If you want to be that guy, you got to win a World Series as the Yankees manager.
Right, but I almost feel like that's a conversation maybe for next year or the year after.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like, is it fair to say now, because this conversation, I mean, we've done it, you've done it even before me with Tiki, whatever, it's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
The Cashman/Boone, and more so Cashman because he's the head of the operation, are we now officially over the Cashman/Boone, change needed, the fire, whatever it may be, are we past that with the Yankees World Series berth?
I think we should be, Now, will rational minds always prevail in the middle? Let's say they now if they win it, I think that that changes. Now they get a certainly Cashman gets a pass, right? If they lose it, and we're here in June or July, and let's say they don't retain Soto, or even if they do, and things are a little skittish here, the Yankees kind of wallowing in mediocrity. Guess who's calling it up? The anti-Cashman people. It's going to happen.
So if they,
I'll lay off a bit, though, myself.
If they don't win the World Series, Cashman's, I don't want to say future because he's not going anywhere, but the ire from the fans is going to depend on retaining Soto or not. Although that might just be a Hal thing anyway.
I think it'll partially be derived from that. Listen, anything pertaining to Soto is 100% Hal.
Okay, so then let's forget Soto for a second.
Yep.
So if the Yankees lose this World Series.
Which they won't, but keep going.
Okay,
I'll play the game.
Cashman, Boone, still here, safe, nobody calling up saying he need to be fired. Like, we're over that for at least the next few years.
I am. Well, next few years, I don't know that you could ever push it that forward in New York, let alone with the Yankees. So I'm not going to say for the next few years, plural. I will lay off a bit, and maybe I will look at, rather than illuminate the things that drove me nuts about Cashman, maybe I'll look a little harder and acknowledge the things that he's done well, like finding some of these bullpen arms, things I've kind of glossed over because his bigger moves have bothered me. I mean, if this doesn't create and at least insulate them a little bit, then I don't know what the hell Yankee fans want.
Yeah,
I know. You're in the World Series.
Yeah, but it's been the same thing.
So, and you have the MVP.
So if I said I was going to change after 2021, fundamentally, like, I still have to stick to that, even though this happened to be the year that they broke through and got to a World Series. I didn't look at some great team.
Not necessarily. You can always change your opinion. You could.
I'm not with
that. I get that, but you could. Like, I changed my opinion on Lindor. I mean, people have changed their opinion on Pete.
Right.
But that's
different. Like, I knew Cashman was a good general manager when I wanted him to be done at 2021. It was never, just the same way he told Joe Girardi took the Yankees to Game 7 of the ALCS in 2017 and wasn't offered his job back.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason was, well, it was just time for a change.
It was also friction. Joe wasn't a yes man. Joe wasn't a company guy. Joe was doing what Joe wanted to do.
Right, but if we're going based off of the results, guy did win a World Series, and he did get you the Game 7 of the ALCS that year where nobody expected anything.
I love Girardi. Like, I love Girardi. I love Joe.
He exceeded all expectations that year, but was still, they moved on from him. So while I acknowledge that Brian Cashman is one of the great general managers that the sport has ever seen, I just fundamentally disagree with the way that he's been building this team for years, and I'm not going to change that just because this was the year they broke through and got to a World Series, especially if they lose, even though I believe the Dodgers are the better team.
So holding on to that position, which you've had for a while.
Yeah.
Basically,
I'm not saying I would come on the air and call for firing.
No, I know you wouldn't. I know you wouldn't, but the endorsement wouldn't be as aggressive as maybe some.
It's just not changed. I think that for the Yankees to build a more consistent.
So you would view the World Series appearance as an outlier, basically, is what you're saying. Like, it's.
Yes.
It's okay. So the.
I think he should be judged on his consistency so than whether he gets to the World Series or not.
Yeah, I'm a big consistency guy as well. I don't disagree.
And just to clarify, like, 2021 was the year where they didn't have a great regular season, lost in the wild card round. 2022, they started out on fire. Second half looked awful. Even though they got to the ALCS, they got swept. Like, they were going backwards until this year. Now, he went out and got Juan Soto, which is great. But even with that, I still didn't see a great team. Now, they're playing very well right now, and they're in the World Series, could win the World Series, but I'm just giving you why I feel the way that I do.
Listen, man, I get it, and I've been a Cashman critic,
right.
but also a, see, boy, it's been a quandary for me, because he's a Hall of Famer, but I've been very outspoken about his deficiency, so but we brought him up to him when we had him on the show last month. It's all good, and I'm happy for him. And he does need to stop referencing the Astros and the cheating scandal. Stand on your own merit. You built the World Series team. And by the way, one of his absolute strengths forever has been finding gems, like uncovered hidden gems in the bullpen. Well, guess what? With the Yankees' closer issue with Holmes, think about the energy around Clay Holmes when he was melting down.
Yeah.
If Cashman wasn't so astute at building a bullpen, the Yankees season would have been over probably against the Royals, if you really think about it. So again, it just depends what you react to.
Yep.
And I usually react to the bigger ticket items, you know, like a Soto or some other things, both good and bad, and I think that's natural. But I think now by getting to the World Series, hopefully it incorporates a little more balance, to be fair to Cashman,
right,
because I do think it's been hijacked a little bit. And just one more thing. So the 2019 team, right, that won, what, they won 103 games? What were they, 103?
Wow, were they that good?
They were 103 and 59.
They were struggling a little bit, but then they got, you said, what year was this?
2019.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was thinking about 2021. Okay, yeah,
okay, but the 2019, which is the high water mark for
Boone. I thought that team was, yeah, so that's why I said 2017, 18, 19.
Okay, now that 2019, these Yankees only won 94. They didn't win 93. But think about, and we all know the Yankees starting lineup now. This was the Yankees starting lineup that year. That's why I think this unit's better, because to answer your question, just bring it full circle. Gary Sanchez, beyond the plate. Luke Voit at first.
Right.
DJ, well, DJ at that point was really
good. He was a stud, yeah.
Yeah, a stud. Didi, who was solid, but he had 238 that year. You know, I liked him too, but I'm fine with Volpe. Gio Urshela was the third baseman. Good, but
again,
not great.
Good player.
He was good, but not great. Mike Tauchman played a lot of left field. Brett was in center at the age of 35. Judge was kind of a pup in right. And Carnacion was the designated hitter. You know, you had a lot of Gleyber Torres. You had Aaron Hicks was on there. You had a little Clint Frazier. You had a little Cameron Maybin.
Who
you had
pitching?
A little... who's the pitchers I got here? You had Paxton. Bad move by Cashman. Bad move.
That was the issue. The pitching to me would be much better now, which if you're going to say that they're better.
God, yeah.
Right, but the team-wise, BT.
This team's better. You had an aging CC.
More talented doesn't mean they're a better team.
See, well.
I mean, that team won 100. And by the way, the American League was more dangerous
because
then.
Of the Astros and some other high-level teams. Now, again, I don't think it's an easy answer. My answer is this team. You had an aging CC. You had Tanaka, who was still really good. You had Happ, who was, his ERA was almost 5. Yeah. Paxton didn't work out. You had Domingo Germán. I mean,
Chad
and then the bullpen.
I just think they played
better.
They were, that team dominated, and the record would indicate that, but that team to me felt more dominant in the regular season.
Well, it was based on the sheer amount of wins, but.
And maybe that's why Cashman's so salty about 2017 or even 2019, because maybe the 2019 team could have been or should have been a World Series team.
It's just, and maybe I'm getting skewed by the 2-3 sticks in the order.
Well, I mean Soto's in the lineup.
I mean, right there, it's just massive swing pendulum this team.
I get it. Let's get back to the calls here. We'll get to our Judge angle coming up in a second. Or really just who, if the pressure's not on Boone and Cashman, who is it on in this series for the Yankees? Ray is in the Bronx. What's up, Ray?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Okay, Ray. What's going on, buddy?
Good. You made a comment about the Yankees keeping Boone no matter what happens in the series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of on the fence there, because I think, like, if the Yankees get swept, I don't think they could keep Boone. And only because, you know, that run that we had where we weren't doing too good, Boone kept making these poor excuses. You know, he was never really on these guys. And I believe, like, he became more like a friendship than a manager to them. You know, it was almost like when Joe Torre at the end of his years. You know, it was more like he became too soft with them.
All right, let me ask you this, Ray. Now, I don't fully disagree, because their base running's awful, which means they're not always held accountable. Gleyber is, you know, sometimes in space. We all know the Yankee Gleyber Boone experience. All right, you don't want him back. Who are you bringing in? Who's your option? Who do you want?
Well, I mean, that's probably why I'm on the fence. You there's really no one out there.
That's the point, Ray. Part of being the Yankee, and thank you for the call, Ray, and I'm not saying the Boone's perfect. He's not. But part of being the Yankee manager, it's the lineup and it's the bullpen machinate. You got to handle the media. And Boone, he shuts down a blossoming controversy immediately, and he projects positively. And I know it rubs some of us the wrong way when they're losing, but it is a steady hand, and with that team, you got to be steady.
You got to get off the fence, and you're going to jump either on the side of Boone or unknown or other.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Boone.
And that's why, BT, see, for me, the reason why I'm happy for Boone to get to this point is I never thought it was his fault.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were going to make a change, it wouldn't have been, fire Boone. It would have
been Cashman.
Yep, and not just because I don't think Cashman's good, but because I felt it was time for the organization to see things differently.
Yep.
That's a big difference than this guy's not good enough to get the job done. And it's a big difference than pointing the fingers at the manager, where I never thought the manager, especially with the Yankees, the manager, and that's why I joke and call Boone a data applicator. I do think that the manager, in a lot of ways, has been minimized, specifically with the Yankee organization. So Boone is here to be a player's manager and to get these guys to be close and to, you know, I don't want to say coddle because that's maybe too soft a word, but you get the point.
Like, I do.
And he has done his job in that regard. Would he be my manager first choice? Probably not, but I don't think he's a part of the problem. So whether he gets to the World Series or not, for me, was never really like, okay, well, now he's proven something. But I do think a lot of people need to shut up, or at least he's not going to be under the... He would have gotten fired by the Yankees if he didn't get out of the first round.
Like, yes.
We have to make some changes.
That. Yes.
Okay, so, but still, if you don't believe in him, like our last caller, Ray, even getting to the World Series may not be good enough for some. Like, they just want... more or something different.
And you know what? I don't have an issue with Yankee fans always wanting the absolute, you know, most, which is a championship. But the one thing, listen, in 2024, in terms of coaches and managers, volatility rarely plays, and it certainly doesn't play in baseball.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying that you can't light somebody up a little bit, you know, but you can still have an old school football, like an emotional coach here. You know, and Dample's got some of that, and I like that.
Right.
I, you know, I wish Sava had more of that. He had none of that, at least during the game. And you can have it in hockey a little bit, and you know, Tom Thibodeau could be a little grumpy and a little old school. Baseball, it's every night, and they feel every word that you drop in the post game interview. And if it's always too much or too volatile or too aggressive, they're going to tune you out. One thing they never did with Boone, they never tuned him out.
Right.
Ever.
And think about this.
That's hard to do, Sal.
If they were to move on from Boone, like let's say that their hand was forced. Cashman does not want to fire Boone.
No.
But if they fell short in the Royals series and were ousted in the first round, Boone would have been fired because Hal would have said, we got to make some kind of change. They would have reluctantly fired Boone. And who do you think they would have hired?
I don't know.
Like this regime, though, do you think they would have hired, let's just say, a Buck Showalter type?
No.
It would have been some
Like a Dusty Baker or one of those old school. No,
it would have been some other analytical, lesser known guy. I mean, maybe you would have gotten.
Maybe they would have brought back Girardi.
No way.
Why not? He's back in the yes booth.
No way.
He's ingratiated himself.
I don't think there's any chance. Maybe Donnie.
Oh, it's my boy. You know,
now I'm talking out the strings.
You really are. Did you hear my tone? Oh, yeah, Donnie. I don't want Mattingly to ever be the Yankees manager because I don't ever want to have to hit him hard. I would. Like, if it was time to go, I'd have to say it. I would do my job. I don't want to be in that spot.
I don't know.
I don't want to be conflicted.
I don't know if you could go there with Donnie.
So you're saying I wouldn't do my job with that?
No,
like,
he's the one guy that
I would just give the ultimate pass to? Like, you and Patrick for getting roasted by Akeem? You still look the other way?
Oh, my God.
What's that?
I don't look the other way. The guy was one of the best players of all time.
I understand. He shot 37.8% in the NBA finals.
By the way,
he got abused. What?
Real quick before we break, today was like at school they had to dress up in sports outfit.
Oh, nice.
Sammy's wearing the 33 today.
She was.
Yeah, my wife, like, I didn't even tell her to put it on. She put it on. I go, wait a second. Don't we have a Starks for her? What's with the Ewing jersey? But I might not have had the Starks in that size, but 33.
I love when they do that. So you pass it on to Sammy. That is fantastic.
33. All right, anyway.
I never got to do any of that stuff, by the way. Like, a real quick aside about what the kids wear to school. First of all, they're off more than I was ever off.
Yeah.
Teacher conference day, this holiday. They never go to school, right? And... like back then, I also went to Catholic school, so I had to wear a tie. Even in grammar school, I had to wear powder blue shirt. I guess like the shirt that Evan wore to Carlton's Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And by the way, shout out to Craig and those guys. Awesome, Craig. Congrats, man. We said that yesterday. Proud of you, happy for you, and well deserved. A powder blue shirt with a navy blue tie and navy blue pants. And then when I went to high school, I could at least wear like khakis and penny loafers, which I hated, but at least I could diversify it a little bit. Kids today, like my son, he wears a jersey, not every day, but all the time.
I was wearing a jersey every day.
That's the public school route.
Yeah.
I did miss out with that. I didn't miss out on the education, though, buddy.
Yeah. Did you go to an all boys school?
Grammar school was boys and girls, and high school was all boys. And I promise you, still didn't miss out.
Yeah.
Let me just set it straight. Yeah, we were. Are my kids out of school now? Jen, turn the radio off for a second. Honestly, Jen, turn the radio off for 15 seconds. Turn the radio off now. Turn it off. Because I think she might be transporting him somewhere. Turn it off. Dude, we were I shouldn't say this, but we were banging back beers when we were 15 in the park, dude.
I mean, I almost had a heart attack. I thought you were going to say something different.
No, I wouldn't say it.
You did. You said you
wouldn't say it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, this is the 80s in Brooklyn.
What, I thought we were
you don't
in big
think
trouble
we found
there.
A way to have crazy fun? Are you insane?
No, no, I get it. I get
mean,
it.
Oh, okay. There's no law. There's no rules.
BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Thursday. We'll have Jonathan Casillas coming up in a little bit. Let's get back to the calls here, BT. Juggling the Giants and the Yankees. We'll do some Jets and Mets later on as well. David Stern spoke yesterday during our show, so we have some comments that we want to react to from yesterday. And I know you have some stuff that we got to get into with the Jets here ahead of their look, I mean, if they can't win this game
that's
on Sunday.
Season. That's it.
Yeah, this season. Is it. Season. We'll get into that. And I know you get your big Jets podcast you'd be doing tonight and then again Sunday after the game, the Unkillable podcast.
Yep. Oh, thank you, Sal. I'm sorry to step on you, but we'll drop number 2 tonight, number 3 right after the game. After every game, we'll go live, and then Thursdays we'll do it as well.
Okay, yes. So stay tuned tonight as BT drops number 2. John is calling from Deer Park. What?
No.
John is calling from Deer Park. Hey, what's up, John?
How's it going, guys? Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Now he gets it.
I was just kind of wondering. You were talking about Daniel Jones earlier.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, John.
Sorry, John.
Daniel Jones, yes.
I was just wondering, right, if, I mean, I'm quite sure, as you both mentioned or alluded to, that there was, I mean, there was a lot of money coming to him this year. To just have to pay him and not at least try to use him and see if he was going to pan out, that's a hard decision to make and then step away from it. You know?
Agreed.
So I'm quite sure that had a lot to do with, you know, trying him out a little bit, you know? And then I wonder also, on top of that, someone else mentioned, I think the caller a little while ago said something about, you know, Daniel Jones falling apart and really deteriorating. The question you got to ask yourself is if what we saw on the good side was a fluke.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. I don't think it was a fluke because of the way they deployed him. Now, if he threw for like 4,400 yards and 36 touchdowns, and that was the only time he even reached anywhere remotely, you know, those numbers, that's one thing. It was a fairly benign, controlled attack, and he did what he does best, and he ran. And let's face it, you know, that's why I gave you the division record when they went 1-4-1 that year, and the tie was against the Commanders. They beat a lot of bad teams. Like, the record, the schedule, it doesn't matter in the moment. You're pretty pumped about it. You're a playoff team. I get it. But, like, their path, I don't know. He didn't do that against good teams. He just didn't.
Do you think it's fair to say you could make an excuse for Daniel Jones in his first 3 seasons in the NFL?
Yes.
Okay, me too, right? You can make some excuses.
Or at least contextualize it. Oh, no question.
How about year 4? Like, you know, and year 4, by the way, was the successful season where, you know, the Giants actually got to the postseason. Yeah, Dable. Year 4, fair to say, okay, well, now, forget about excuses. You start to believe in him. But he's got to take that next step.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, after year 4, you know me, I was going into last year saying, all right, Jones could be a top quarterback in this league. Well, I forget what we're talking about, top 10 or top 15. But
I think it was top 10. Okay. I think he pushed him that far.
Right. Projecting it forward, saying that now to do that, he's got to throw the football. And what was the excuse last year when Jones fell flat on his face?
Andrew Thomas, correct. You know, his hamstring first game against Dallas,
injuries.
Some other issues. Yeah, a lot of injuries.
Jones himself got hurt, injuries. Now, I wasn't willing to make those excuses anymore because we did that in the past, but let's just say I give him the benefit of the doubt, all the excuses. What is the excuse this year? Like, there are no more excuses. We're out. He's healthy. They've been pretty healthy, even without neighbors at winning a game. I don't want to hear about Thomas now because the Giants can't score touchdowns prior to Thomas going out. What are the excuses for him this year? Where are they? He's got 3 running backs. He's got a legit top wide receiver in neighbors, not to mention other weapons that he could throw the football to. Wanda Robinson, a nice receiver to throw the football to. Slayton, whatever. Hyatt stinks, but you get the point.
He's got a good defense that doesn't make him score 40 points a game just to hang around. I mean, you score 14 points, 20, you're going to win.
Coach has been here for now.
Stability.
Correct. And an offensive coach at that.
Yeah.
It's over. Like, we're out.
You can't help yourself. You say you're not going to get worked up over Jones, and then you just get worked up over Jones.
Oh, I can't do it anymore, dude.
That's why I don't get worked up over Jones. That's why I just say it's over.
I just, like, this is the nail in the coffin. There's no more, like, even if you wanted to say, all right, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, I'll give you the excuses and all this stuff, like, this is it.
Sal, the bottom line is this. The good year a couple of years ago has now become the outlier. That's the best way to say it.
Jerry's in Chester, New York. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I'm thinking about the lineup for tomorrow. I know it's been good. I just don't like having Judge and Stanton batting back-to-back. I think because he's been hitting so quietly during the playoffs, I think you put Rizzo in between that because he's a little more contacty lately. And then
he's right.
Anyway. Uh-huh. So I think putting him in between them would be perfect. And I don't. The one guy who I only want to see batting in the lineup is Jazz Chisholm.
You said the one guy that you don't want to see batting is Jazz Chisholm? I mean, Jazz, it's funny because I think Jazz is the key in the series. I actually do. And we'll get more into it later, but.
Yeah, they might need his bat for some more depth to equal out the lineup.
Forget depth. He's got to wake up. He's played 9 games in the postseason. He's 5-for-34 with 2 runs and 1 RBI and multiple base running gaffes.
Yeah.
Now, I think Jazz is going to be a big piece of the puzzle moving forward. That was a good move by Cash. You know, losing culture. He's got to learn to assimilate to much more of a winning culture. Get it wrapped up in, you know, you got to be a Yankee, play like a Yankee. But you've got to learn how to comport yourself a little bit more, a little differently than you did with the Marlins, both. Not off the field, he's a good kid, but on the field. You just got to make, but also keep the energy, which he has, which I love. But you got to hit. I mean, all the neon and all the chains and the style, which I love because they're too often too corporate, means nothing when you're hitting 150. Like, you got to hit. And even most disconcerting to me has been how, like, he has missed balls by feet this year, this postseason. I think it's always 1-2 right away. And I feel like you watch him swing, Sal. Same with Austin Wells to an extent. Where they're missing balls by a foot and a half, swinging over breaking balls, swinging under fastballs. Like, dude, you are really off. If Jazz Chisholm, prediction, whatever, I'll give you that. I do think the Yankees win it. But if Jazz Chisholm plays well, I have no doubt that they win. Then that would say, all right, now the rest of the big boys going to eat. I don't know if Stanton eats at the rate that he ate previous series. Judge will get some eating. Soto's going to eat. You know, I think Labor's going to hit a little bit. That guy's going to wake up. He is the key for me, Jazz Chisholm. And, of course, the bullpen.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls in just a little bit. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. We've been talking Yankees and we've been talking Giants. And to talk further Giants right now, we welcome in our pal Jonathan Casillas. Of course, you can hear him on the pre- and post-game show right here on the Fan around the Giants games each and every week. Jonathan, we've been talking about the comments last night from the owner, basically saying that he's not making a change with Shane and Dable. What are your thoughts on what John Mara had to say last night?
I think it's good. It's a boost of confidence to the guys that he still believes in them. You know, I don't know if he truly believes that. I hope he does. But time will tell. You know, fellas, I'm a week-to-week type of guy. You know what I mean? I'm a week-to-week type of guy. And then I'm an end-of-the-season guy looking at the body of work that was put together. So as of right now, it's not looking good, but for the owner to say he doesn't, you know, he's not giving up on them, I think that's a boost of confidence for them. Maybe they needed some type of reassurance. Maybe that's why he said it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad for the building, and I think he means it, but to what extent, I'm not sure here, Jonathan, because I think the wording is very interesting. He said, you know, quote, I'm not going to make any changes this season, meaning in season, which is smart. You need a little more stability. Then he says, but I don't anticipate making any in the offseason. So, obviously, if things go real, real messy, which they could, the word anticipate kind of gets him off the hook there. Listen, he's hell-bent on changing this circus, the hirings, the firings, the constant cycle of change, but I think you hit something really important. I think he wants these two men to be the answers. I don't know if he's fully convinced that they are, myself.
Yeah, no, I agree with you too, but, you know, it's all about what you do, man. This is a production league, you know, and if, you know, last year was any indication on, you know, where these guys are at right now, you know, it's not looking good. But things can change. Things can turn around, you know, and I'm hopeful for it because it makes my day a lot better. You know, it makes our conversations a lot smoother. I'm a lot happier during the week. So I'm here for it. You know, I'm trying to push out as much positivity as possible. But look, it's not us. It's not you guys. It's not the owner. It's the GM. It's the head coach. And it's the players. You know, they got to prove that they're deserving of what they have. And if not, then things have to change. It's not about if you want it to change or not. It's about what has happened.
Yeah.
And if the things does not get better, things have to change. Because there's no way you make it to the playoff 2 years ago and you stink it up for the next 2 years and things don't change. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's possible.
I agree. Again, we're talking Jonathan Casillas, of course, every week. BT and Sal on the Fan. He's been great. It's awesome to get to know him, and he is outstanding. And listen, you guys hear him. I don't have to tell you how good he is. He's really good. I listened to a lot of the game on Sunday. My daughter had a soccer game, and Carl, during the game, was very raw. So was Bob, in a good way. I thought you guys did a great job post-game. Now, to me, when the owner wants to offer a stamp of support, again, I'm all for it, but following a game as ugly and as weak as that, you got guys checking out of tackles, Jonathan.
Yeah, I was bad.
I was as bad as it gets. So what I would have done if I owned the Giants, I wouldn't have necessarily done it the way he did it. I would have told him behind closed doors, hey, listen, if I see this again, you're both gone, because the Giants quit this past weekend.
Yeah, man, that was rough. I didn't even see the Banks play until I started watching film the next day. And they told me about it, then I watched it. And I was like, wow, that's really bad. And look, he's a young guy, and Banks, I think he has some talent. I think he's underachieved. But look, you can't – there's no coaching for that. There's no skill level that's required for you to give effort. You know, and that play right there, yeah, Jalen Hurts, he's a big quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. But it's your job to get that guy down. It's your job to make that tackle. And this is what I'm seeing, and I talked about in the postgame with Bob Pop about this. It's like some guys are doing their job. Of course, that play, Banks didn't do his job. But you're not seeing guys do their job and more, which you see from other teams, like what you saw from Saquon Barkley, what he gave, right? Listen, Saquon Barkley, I don't think he's known for being a very physical runner. I think he's physical because he's big, but he's not a lower your shoulder into a guy's chest type of guy. But he did on Sunday. That first screen pass he got, or that first pass that he got, it was a check down, actually.
Yep.
On third down, when it was third and 14, it was nothing for the Eagles. He stuck his shoulder right on Dane Belton's shoulder, and he ran through him. And I was like, see, this is what I'm talking about. He's not only running hard, he's running harder than hard. Like, he has a mental, and you know, he talked about it's not a revenge game, so what was that then, Saquon? If it's not a revenge game, then what was that?
Well, you know it was. He was just saying the right thing because he's a class act.
Right. He's playing with a different type of oomph. And, of course, it's against his older team. Okay, cool. But he did it. And you know what? Other guys do that for that team. That's what you saw from the Philadelphia Eagles. That's why, look, the Eagles didn't have to pass the ball because they were physically dominating the game. The Giants sacked them 5 times out of 19 dropbacks. That is awesome. But when you give up over 200 yards rushing, 176 yards to Saquon Barkley, you don't have to pass the ball. All of the pass rushing statistics that the Giants are showing, they're first in the league in sacks. What does that actually mean when you're 2-5 and you lost all of your games at home? It doesn't really mean anything. Those are just numbers. You're getting physically beat up the ball. You can't run the ball. Guys, they only had 119 yards. They averaged 2.2 yards per play. That is disgusting.
It's gross.
I was so pissed off by that. They got physically dominated.
Yeah, they did.
And look, Dexter Lawrence is amazing. And if you watch him on film, he's still amazing. He's splitting double teams, getting tackles. He's doing everything. He's dominating every team he plays. He's leading the league in sacks. Take Dexter Lawrence away. What is the defense? And that's the scary part about it, guys. I'm most scared about that.
How would you, Jonathan, police what you saw from Deontay Banks?
How would I police it? I would bench him. I would bench him because you can't tolerate that.
Well, even you from a player's perspective as well. Forget about even what Dable should do, but if you're a player, you're a captain, you're a defensive guy, you see that, what are you doing?
Okay, cool. I'll give you an example because it happens, right? Eli Apple, remember?
Oh, yeah.
I know you guys remember Eli Apple. So there was a play, right, and the coaches talked about this, and he made sure that everybody on the defense saw it. And they put it up on the big screen so the defensive guy saw it, and everybody was getting in. It was basically a play on special teams where he was the jammer going against the gunner. Fellas, he let the gunner go, and he blew up our returner.
Mm.
And everybody in the room was like, man, that's bull stuff. That's, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They were getting on him. I didn't say nothing. I didn't say nothing to him. I didn't say nothing to him, right? Eli Apple's locker is like 30 years old. My knee hurts. My shoulder hurts. And I would never, ever quit on the play. I said, bro, if I see that again, I promise you I would try my hardest to get you cut. That's what I told him personally.
Wow. Yes! That's what I'm looking for, Jonathan. Yeah. So this is something that it's not, like, it's easy to say, oh, Dable should bench him and this or that, but this is something that's so significant that the player should be policing when you see an effort like that from Deontay Banks, who, by the way, I still think is a good player, and I can't understand why he's had the fall off this year from where he was a year ago.
You know what I think? I think he's looking at the other side of the ball, and I think he's taking business decisions. You know, and look, I've seen it before. You know, I think Eli Apple was a little different. I think he was just a child, basically, playing in the NFL in a man's game that year. I don't think Banks is like that. I just think that, you know, he's making business decisions. It was a little later in the game. The game was a little out of reach, and he was making a business decision. But I don't think that could be the end-all for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think Dexter Lawrence, Bobby Okereke, the leaders on the team, can have that conversation like I had with Eli. Maybe a little, you know, less aggressive.
No, I like it. Hey, yeah, it's good.
We need you, bro.
Yeah.
We can't have stuff like that. You know, and listen, I've been on teams where the defense needed to hold the team to 10 points to win. And that's what it probably takes for the Giants to win. And I told guys that. The defense is good enough to do things like that if they don't give up on plays.
Yeah.
You know, if they don't make mental errors, they're good enough to beat a team that has a good offense. We've seen it from the Bengals. We've seen them go up to Seattle and play well. We've seen it from the defense, but they even have to take it up to another level, and hopefully it can carry over to the offense.
So that's former Giant Jonathan Casillas, of course, part of the Giants broadcast team, former captain, played for the Giants, beat Team Sal's, been with us every week here on the season.
You wonder why he fits in so well.
That's awesome.
The you do that bleep again.
The difference is he actually had the muscle to back it up. You know? All right, so you talk about business decisions, right, in terms of turning away from tackles. The biggest business decision facing the Giants is when to sit down Jones based on the injury provision. How do they handle that with the injury guaranteed, 25 mil?
Good question. This week is rough, man. They're going to go up to Pittsburgh, who, you know, last 2 weeks they scored over 30 points. They scored 31 against your Jets, Tierney, 31 points in a row.
Yeah.
You know, it was a close game earlier. It just took real over.
Close.
You know, and you know, when they have belief, which I believe that they have,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're going to be a scary team, you know, as the season gets older. You know, this week, man, if T.J. Watt is unblockable, which at times in his career he has been, you know, I think you got to look to consider not getting him hurt. You know, and I think that's just for the longevity of your season. And then also business-wise. Like, Zudu, he's not playing. We didn't play well last week. And the biggest factor for me when I looked at the offense is, like, the other guys didn't play well either. And I felt like they have been playing well this year in terms of the offensive line. Illuminor gave up a sack. John Michael Smith did. Runyon did. Greg Van Roten was getting swam on a lot of run plays. And they just all took a step back. If that happens again this week, like if you do believe in Daniel Jones to finish off this season, and he's getting hit early in the game, like you have to make a move. And that's just me putting my, you know, GM, my coaching cap on. Like if you're out there getting your quarterback beat up in Pittsburgh, I don't think that's a smart move to keep him in the game.
All right, this is going to be real tight here, Jonathan. We're up against an update coming in a second. Real talk, and you always keep it real, but real, real, extra real talk. I mean, Evan Neal, is he really just this bad where he can't get on the field? Is he that bad?
I don't know, but that's what it's showing. You know, like, I don't know. I mean, he's been playing right tackle, you know, his NFL career, and then, of course, in college, he was a left tackle. So why won't you give him a shot at left tackle? You know, Zudu's not really doing it.
It's like,
give him a shot at left tackle. Let's see what he does. I don't know, man. Like, I think it's a mental thing for him. And mentally, if you can't, you know, live up to what you have been, and you've been having that confidence for so long, and it's not there, then it physically shows up in your game.
You know, Jonathan, you said you watch film. Where? How does that go? Like, where are you watching film? At your house? Where are you doing? Because I want to. We need a little BT and Sal and Jonathan Casillas film study. I'd love to be able to sit back and watch a game on tape with you and get a former player's perspective of breaking down a film. Where can we make this happen?
We could do it. I would have did it this today. I was talking to Pete last week about coming. I was like, I would love to go, you know, hang with the guys for a little bit. But we can figure it out. One of these Thursdays when, you know, I'm supposed to call in, I'll come into the studio early. I'll stay later, whatever the case is. I just had a couple things to do today.
Okay, no, we want to come to your crib is what we're saying.
Look, I'm at my iPad, guys.
Oh, okay.
NFL replays, NFL Plus, bro.
Oh, all right. I'm thinking a little film study. But either way, I would like to do that. Sit down. And we got two things we got to do. We want a little film study. We can get you in the studio to do it or whatever you want to hang. And then we got to go to Rails.
A little steakage.
Yeah, Frank wants to have us at Rails. You been to Rails, Jonathan?
No, sounds like
how have you not been there? Is it your
It's in Jersey. He's a big Giant fan. He's like, I love BT and Casillas. You got to come in. So we got to set that up maybe after the season. But we got those things on the docket, Jonathan. So put that on your calendar, all right?
I like it, man. We'll get up. I'll talk to Pete about it. We'll schedule something in the near future. All right, fellas?
Thank you, Jonathan. Good luck to the Giants on Monday. We'll be listening to you. There he is, Jonathan Casillas. Of course, pre and post is a great job. I love that answer.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's tremendous.
Good to us.
And, he's tremendous.
You know, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, we'll get together. Yeah, he actually means it. Like, yeah, there's no doubt we're going to get together.
Well, don't you think it would be fun? Because he's saying, I watched the film. Okay, cool. Like, and we've seen, like, you could see the All 22 and break it down. But to watch it with him,
yeah,
we'll learn from that.
A couple of bottles of wine, maybe. A little, you know, do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? See, you, all right. Your eyes are
maybe
insane.
We could do that at Rails.